Today, we will be sharing in the Lord's Supper, but we also want to look through the message this morning that I believe that God has laid on my heart, and it's entitled, The Past, the Present, and the Future. Jesus Christ, it says, said that He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, which means He was in the past, He's in our present, and He's in all of our future. I thought about bringing my measuring tape. I often do a little illustration to show the time span or the lifeline. It's said in Canada that about 80 years old, 81, is the average male lifespan, and just over 83 is the average female lifespan. So I like to take a measuring tape and pull it out over here to about 83 or 84, so that we cover both male and female. And then I would start and ask for someone who's back here, maybe 6, 8, 10 years old, and have them to come and get a hold of the tape, letting each inch be a year. So that person would get a hold here. Someone who's 17 or 18 would get a hold here. Someone who's in their 20s, until you got over here to the oldest person in the room. And oftentimes, you'll have someone that you have to pull the tape out a little bit further because they're on borrowed time. They're past the expected lifespan. And so we hold it there. And then when you look at that, this boy or girl who's back here 12 years old, they don't have a whole lot of past to talk about. Now, they think they're really old. I remember one time I had a group of people just stand at the front. I was trying to stress the generation gap, the age gap. And so I had all these different ages from young to old. And then I asked this little girl, how old do you think is where the people started getting old? Who's old up there? She said 16 is old. So you just need to bear that in mind. I was talking to a little girl not long ago who was 5 years old. And I asked her, I said, so how old are you? And she said, I'm 5. And I said, well, I'm 73. And she said, wow. You know, from a 5-year old. So she knew. And the reason I say that is when you look at those who are 50, 60, 70 years old or better, we have left on the measuring tape, if an average span is 81 or 2 or 3, we have about this much left, right? So we have a lot more of the past that we can talk about, 73 inches of it back here, and then I would have less than 10 inches up here on the average lifespan. So when we talk about the past, the present, and the future, I believe, as one of the men has said, a man named Avery Willis, that we must learn how to respect the past, live in the present, and think about the future. And so those of you who are younger, you've got, if God tarries His return and the world allows us to continue to press on, you have a lot of space in here to develop and live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Charity, you have a lot of life left to give to the Lord. But some of us can talk about what God has done, what we've seen happen back here. One of the few advantages of getting old is you have a perspective on history. You know, for a young person, their history is not very intense or elaborate, and yet some of you have a lot of history behind you. And when we look at a pencil, you can take a pencil and use that for an illustration. You get one that's down about here, and it's been sharpened, and all the erasers worn off a long time ago. And then you get a new one over here, and you sharpen it for the first time. All the erasers there, all the pencils there. I'm here, and a lot of our younger people are over here. And so the scripture that I want to use just as a background today is one that I use often, but I'll not spend a lot of time on it for today. But it has all three categories in it. It has past, present, and future. Philippians 3, 12 through 14 says, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Charity made a statement that's so very true. God does not expect us to have to be perfect. We don't strive for perfection. We strive for excellence, meaning I want to be the best that I can be. I want to do all that I can possibly do, but I don't have to do it expecting perfection. Perfection, a desire for that, will cause you to break down. You can't be perfect, but you can be the best you can be. And that's not comparing me or comparing you to anyone else. I personally believe that the best leader, the best church, the best association, or best convention is one that has the ability to balance the past, the present, and the future. If all you want to talk about is your past, you got a problem. If you're only living in the present, you have no respect for the past, and you are not looking to the future at all, you have a very narrow mindset. And yet, if all you're doing is, oh, tomorrow I'm going to get that better job, tomorrow I'm going to make money, tomorrow I'm going to do this, somewhere you have to balance those, don't you? Our past and our present and our future. When we've been talking about, and I don't know about you, but I'm getting pretty sick of talking about the COVID, but it just won't go away. You know, the people that are in charge, they just keep throwing it out there and throwing it out there. I liked what I saw on Facebook, not that I value very much of that, but some of these doctors, you know, that we've kind of learned to just ignore, it said on there that most people today like Dr. Pepper better than they like Dr. So-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. And so that kind of shows the value that we're placing on what they're saying or what they're doing. Think about for a moment with me, just to think about it. Pre-COVID, the pastors that this church has had. I remember when this church started, and I brought a couple of men from Edmonton up here with me, and we were helping build the baptistry back in there where your office is now. We were trying to build it to where I had learned some lessons the hard way. One was, you've got to have an overflow in that thing somewhere in there, because I had been the victim of filling the baptistry. You know, you put the hose in or you turn it on and you go back to the office. And then the phone rings and then another phone rings and then somebody else comes and then someone comes in and said, Pastor, water's dripping in the basement, which means it's run over, it's soaked the floor, it's soaking on into the bottom. So I learned the next two baptistries that I built, I put an overflow about that high from the top, so that when the water got there, it had a big enough outlet that all the water could go somewhere else, lest I forgot. I also learned how to heat it, because we had been using a stock tank heater, and it'll do a wonderful job for about the top 4 to 5 inches. So then we'd get in there, I bought a little hand pump, and I'd throw that little pump off the bottom and turn it on and let it circulate the water. So we learned how to do those kind of things. Well, think about this church back when There was Keith Hale that started, and then Victor Morrison came, and then John Siemens came, and then I came, and then Robert Owensby somewhere came in there, and then Ray Shannon came, and then Trevor came, and then Aaron came, and then Clint came, and now we're at the present. Okay, that's all in the past, right? Now we're at the present. What is your status now? Pastorless. So that's present. But you do have hopes and you have plans that God is going to bring a pastor. And you want to, only God knows that today, doesn't he? But he's going to start stirring in someone's heart. And then he's going to put that heart and that mind in connection to where you will know this is who God wants, and we'll move on from there. So what about my past life, my present life, my future life? For some, it's all about the past. For some, they only talk about the present. And for others, they're living completely in the future. Consider your status. And what is your role in any of those periods? What have you been doing in respecting the past? Now, we can't go back. We can't change any of our past. And we've all made some glaring mistakes, right? We've all made glaring mistakes. I can't change those. And one thing that the enemy will do, I told you, Allison, what was going to happen, didn't I? There it goes. One of the things that is going to happen is that we're going to learn from those mistakes. And we can't really live in the past. But Isaiah 51 verse 1 says, we need to respect the past. And here's what that scripture says. Listen to me, ye who pursue righteousness and who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were cut and the quarry from which you were hewn. So to whom is this actually addressed specifically? It's addressed to those who pursue righteousness and who seek the Lord. There are several categories. There are seekers and those who are fined and those who are going. But there also are pre-seekers. Pre-seekers are simply those that have no interest. They're not looking for anything yet. But these are the ones who are pursuing righteousness and seeking the Lord. And then he says to look at from where you are cut, your roots, your heritage. Where did you come from? Some of you are still in the same occupation maybe that your parents were in. Some of you have the same faith base that your parents had. Some of you have not. Some of you have launched out and you've trusted God. God's spoken to you. The Lord has called you and you're yielded to Him. And so we're looking back at that. We're remembering it. But the past has had some type of impact on us, on how we think, how we process, and how we act. Your trip that you just took, Charity, had some impact on you. Regardless of how old you lived, as long as your mind is active and correct and healthy, you were impacted by those last few months. Some of you have been through some business experiences where you made and then you lost, or you all kinds of things happened. And so you have experiences in the past that have impacted you significantly, and how we're going to think and how we're going to process and how we're going to act from here on. But all of us are living in the same present as far as the calendar and the clock is concerned. We're all in this same room at 11:15 on Sunday, August 30th, 2020. And so when we begin to look at that, we say, we're all in this same present. So you can't say, well, you had a different past from what I had. Your future will be different from mine. But we're all in this present right now. In the living in the present, that means that there's a new form of relationships that are being established. There are new forms of communicating. There are those that are involved significantly in the new economy, the new phase of job choices or lack thereof. I remember it was back over in that corner of that room up there years ago where that was the main church building. I was doing a wedding, and there were two little girls there. One of them was the daughter of the man being married, and the other one was her friend out of Spruce Grove. And so I love to hear Paul Harvey and others when they're asking when these kids aren't linked letter, he'd say, asking questions, embarrass their parents and stuff. And I asked these two little girls, I asked the first one, what would you like to be when you grow up and you finish school and you could be anything in the world you wanted to be? Well, she wanted to be a missionary gymnast. Well, I thought there's a very interesting combo, a missionary gymnast. So I asked this other little girl, what would you like to be? And she looked at me for a few minutes very seriously, and then she said, I don't think I really know yet what I want to be, because I think when I get old enough that I have to choose, I think there are going to be a lot of new choices. 9 years old. I thought, whoa, why couldn't that have been original with me? But it wasn't. And is that not true? Those that are growing up right now, you're in a world of a lot of new choices. And most of them at the current time are not in the oil field. And so you'll want to sort of move on from that, I think. There's a new societal morality. Those of you who are old enough to understand what's happened, in the last 6 months, especially the last year, but in the last 6 months, we have undergone some moral value changes that are more significant than perhaps the 20 years preceding that. And they're accelerating rapidly now to where everything is changing. Everything is changing. I remember when I pastored in Terrace, British Columbia years and years ago. And I made a statement on some of my notes. I went back probably 40 years later. And I read on there that mothers were responsible for a lot of the dress codes on those girls that they were fighting with right then. You know, the girls weren't wearing what they wanted mama. So I was telling them, well, you remember when she was little and you put her in this little swimsuit and put her out in the yard under the sprayer, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then I said, you know, we're sending them off to the prom in these strapless gowns. And so help me, I was naive enough that I preached this in a city church probably 15, 20, 25 years ago. I said, we're not sending them out now in strapless gowns. We're sending them out now in gownless straps. Have you ever noticed that you'll see people today in the public that have on less than their grandmother would go to the bedroom with? So we're in a moral change, aren't we? Everything about us is changing. The whole moral society is changing. There's a new view of the church and what it's going to look like going forward. The church will always be the church. God's redeemed, chosen people will always exist right until the return of Jesus Christ. But it's sure not looking the same, is it? Who would have thought 1 year ago today that we would be celebrating and rejoicing the fact that we can finally come back into the church, into the building, not the church, the building. Here's where we are. In Luke chapter 9, verse 62, it says, put your hand to the plow. That's the present. That's where we are in the present. You can talk about the past, worry about the future, or you can take the present and say, I'm going to put my hand to the plow. And I was talking with someone just before the service. That's where we are. Every person who's a Christian, a person who is, in particular, who's a part of this church, a part of any New Testament church, you need to put your hand to the plow. Because if we don't, do you know the easiest thing for a person to do who has no job and no responsibility in his church? What would you say is the easiest thing for them to do? Somebody just tell me. Pardon? Stay home and find fault with the ones that are doing something. If you don't have a job and you're not evaluated on anything, well, that other guy's not doing worth a hoot. She did, well, I sure didn't like that, the way you handled that, Charity, blah, blah, blah. And Charity could say, well, I did the best I could. I'm not perfect, but I surrendered to God's call. I went on mission. I'm back here to tell you that God used it to help change my life. Put your head to the plow, 962 says. But Jesus told him, anyone who puts a hand to the plow and then looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. You might say, well, that sure contradicts you to what you read a while ago in Isaiah. No, we don't need to forget the past. We need to respect the past, but we don't live in the past. There's a big difference. Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, not only put your hand to the plow, but what your hands find to do, do it with all your might. Do the best you can. Strive for excellence, not perfection. Strive for excellence, not perfection. In Proverbs 27, verse 1, am I supposed to be finished and with the Lord's Supper at 11:30? We're not hardly going to make it. We're going to move fast, but we won't make it. Proverbs 27, 1 says, don't brag about tomorrow, since you don't know, in fact, you don't have a clue what the day will bring. Now, you could really fret yourself in a hurry worrying about tomorrow. You got to give it some thought, and the present's going to impact the future, yes. So what do? In the present, we press on. We impact the present. We influence the future. And then we think about the future. The verses that we read to begin with says, right now while I'm pressing on, I'm reaching the future. Tomorrow I'm going to be pressing on again. So some of life doesn't change. We are to be pressing now and in the future. But we're to be reaching far, not forgetting where we are, but reaching to the future. Otherwise, all of a sudden, you go from present to future. I made no preparations. I'm just here. Now what do I do? So while we're in the present, we're thinking and stressing and reaching out. In closing, I would simply say, do you have some celebrations in the past that you need to stop focusing on to the extent that it's almost become a point of bragging? You know, I have been in a church in particular where God did an absolutely miraculous, marvelous thing of helping pay off a past debt. But I heard that reported so many times, and the reporting began to change until it almost became a point of bragging. Wow, this is what we did. No, you didn't do it. God moved in a miraculous way, and he helped you to accomplish it. Do you have some heartaches and some life mistakes in the past that you just need to turn them loose, give them to the Lord Jesus, and move on? Don't let a past mistake ruin your present and destroy your future. Give that to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's one of the beautiful things about a salvation experience. That's a beautiful thing about repentance, that when you give that to the Lord, he says, I will forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness, so that the stain of that sin is gone. Now I begin the rest of my life today. Do you need, in the present, do you need a fresh touch? Do you need a bit of a jump start? What parts of your life are you really talking to the Lord about these days? I can tell you, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ and you're a Christian, you're going to be having some conversations with him that are a little bit different from what you used to have. Because we don't even know, sometimes I don't know what to pray for. You know, people say, well, you pray for that person. Pray for what? I don't know what to pray for. Because one thing about prayer, when you're praying for another person, be very careful that you don't pray in the sense that you're demanding God, because you might be praying against what God's trying to do in their life. Sickness, bankruptcy, all kinds of stuff. Just say, God, if this is your will, this is what I sense. I'm asking you to make me wise on how to pray. But if you start praying, God, make them well, give them their money, give them, you know, I might be praying against what God's trying to do. Because he's got eternity in perspective. And we've got this, remember, our measuring tape. If we go to the good, we got about 83 years. Don't get wrapped up focusing on that. Focus on the balance of eternity. What are your dreams? What's your life ministry dreams? Charity, I hate to pick on you. I didn't want to ask for permission because you might have said no. But just to pick on you, your ministry dreams now will be bigger and brighter and different from what they were before you went on missions. Because God used that to touch your heart. If this church that you attend and that you're prepared to serve as a worker and a leader in could be or could do anything you desire, what would it look like in 5 years from now? You don't spend all your time worrying about the future, thinking about living in the present, but what would you like it to look like? We're about to worship together at the Lord's Supper table today, and this is a time of reverently remembering together the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you've received by faith the mercy and grace offered to you by Jesus Christ, and you've been obedient to Jesus' great commission, as stated in Matthew 28:19, you'll want to partake. That scripture says, therefore go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I've commanded you. Lo, I'm with you even to the end of the age. If you have received Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, and you have followed that first commandment to follow him in believer's baptism, then you are ready to prepare for the Lord's Supper. That means that Lord, I ask you to bring my life up to date today. You know, this is a sobering thought. Since I gave my life to Jesus Christ, and then since I surrendered to the ministry 50 years ago, I've not lived a perfect life. And so I've asked the Lord Jesus Christ on a regular basis. I had a preacher tell me one time, I think Brenda and I were in North Carolina, I believe. He was teaching his youth. Young adults, I want you to hear me, and older people. He said, you don't ever have to ask the Lord to forgive your sins after you become a Christian. You ask him to forgive your sins, repent, and give your life to him when you become a Christian. You don't ever have to ask him again to forgive your sins because they're forgiven the rest of your life. I want to tell you something. Theologically, I don't believe that's correct, but I can tell you one thing. That's not the way to have a good relationship with the Lord. You know one of the hardest things they say for men to do, including me, is when you know you've wronged your wife, to tell her, I'm sorry, and I ask you to forgive me. You know, I don't know, wives seem to find that not that real easy either. But I think we can today say, Lord, would you clean my heart and focus me on you as we get ready for the table?